Welcome to Man Made, a podcast hosted by me, Pete Wicks, where we're going to find out what it takes to be a man. To mark Mental Health Awareness Week, we're releasing some mini episodes featuring some of the guests we've got coming up on the pod, specifically talking about men's mental health. The full episodes will be available wherever you watch and listen very soon, but for now, I hope you can take something from this. For today's mini pod is Caitlin Moran.
When I started writing about men, the word I didn't expect to use the most often in the book was the word heartbreaking. The more I researched men's lives, the more upsetting I found it. Just this stoicism, like there's one chapter called Why Men Don't Go to the Doctor, which was prompted by my husband not going to the doctor for 10 years when it was very clear that he had incredibly high blood pressure. And when he did finally go, the doctor went white and went, we need to put you on pills immediately now. So I became very interested in why is it that men don't go to the doctor. I spoke to a doctor.
That guy.
So the doctor I spoke to was like, if a woman comes in to see me and I say, why are you here? She'll tell me her symptoms. If I ask a man why he's here, he'll say, my wife made me. My girlfriend made me. That's why they come. And so I started asking men, why aren't you going? Lots of them said they were scared, just simply scared. They didn't want to have bad news. They presumed that because they'd left it so long that they would be getting bad news, they just would prefer to die in ignorance. A lot of men said, I can't afford to go. I'm self-employed. I can't afford to set the time off. I can't afford to know if I'm ill. And a lot of them were like, I don't want to make a fuss. I'm going to man up. Also, I don't want to take my place in a waiting list ahead of women or children or the elderly. Mm-hmm. It should be last. So that very sort of women and children first into the lifeboats. And there is no hierarchy of pain or mental illness. No. If you're very mentally or physically ill, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Like the hierarchy is the person with the most extreme suffering is first in the queue. Men aren't used to putting themselves first in that way. This whole idea of like manning up is being silent. Manning up is shouting about this stuff.
I mean, what do you think about the term man up?
The way that it is used at the moment is very repressive, and it just says to you, make your life small. To man up is be quiet, stop complaining, grit your teeth, and do not tell me if anything is going wrong in your life. And that's in no way is that going up in the world. That's man down. You know, that's man being crushed. That's man being silenced. And I find it a borderline offensive term.
I agree, completely agree. But I was brought up with man up,
right?
And I think it shaped my formative years and who I became as a man when I was younger was a lot down to that. I had different, you know, things that happened to me that shaped the way I dealt with my own emotions and feelings and everything else. And it's only really been in the last couple of years that those feelings and thoughts and the way I deal with them and process my own emotions have changed.
It's poisonous. I mean, I wrote a column for the Times a couple of weeks ago about suicide. 5 people in the last year that I knew had taken their lives. And in between me writing it on the Monday and being published on the Saturday, another person that I know took their life. So it was already out of date when I published it 6 days later. And they were all men. And that
it's the biggest killer of men under 40, is it?
Yeah.
Under 50?
Yeah, biggest cause of death under 50 for men in this country. And that is that men literally feel the only option is to kill themselves rather than talk about how they feel.
Do you think, obviously, because that's a stat now that everyone kind of knows, everyone kind of talks about that stat. And I don't know the kind of background on that, whether or not that has increased.
It stayed pretty.
Or it's always kind of been that way, but it's never really been acknowledged.
Yeah, it was never really talked about. The other one that I find equally worrying is that 1 in 4 men over the age of 50 say they have no close personal friends. Like none at all. And what's really common is that when a couple get together, a man and a woman, because women are so good at organising social events, she'll invite her friends over for dinner, they'll go on friend holiday with her friends. He's not that good at arranging seeing his friends. And 10 or 15 years down the line in a marriage, all they're seeing is her friends. He's not seeing his friends at all because men aren't good at organising these things.
I mean, this is a kind of a dangerous thing probably to say, but do you think men are becoming slightly downtrodden?
Who is treading on them? What do you think women are?
No, not necessarily women at all.
Yeah.
But society in general are making it harder for men to be men.
I think it's much harder for men to talk about making their lives bigger. The idea of like emotionally and spiritually making your life bigger is something that a lot of men shy away from. Friendship is a verb and a doing word. Mm-hmm. And women are so good at doing friendship. Whereas the amount of times that I'll sort of like remind my husband that like he hasn't seen one of his friends for 9 months and he needs to go do friendship. You don't just say you have a friend, you go and be a friend.
So what do you think needs to change for men to get a bigger picture?
I want men to rebel. women have been so good at rebelling. The last 100, 150 years, women have rebelled against everything. Not being able to have the vote, not being able to own property, what we wear, what we're allowed to say, who we're allowed to fuck, who we're allowed to love, everything. Women have rebelled against every single thing we were told women were supposed to be 150 years ago. We look completely different to our great-great-grandmothers. Mm-hmm. If you look at men now, there isn't that much difference in their lives 150 years later. You haven't really gained anything. We've gained the vote. Men have not rebelled yet. There's a big trope that if a man has a midlife crisis, you're supposed to laugh at it. Like if a woman has a midlife crisis, we'll go all Shirley Valentine and kind of like go and have an affair with a younger toy. But it's like, you go, girl, go on, get your midlife crisis on. If a man gets a tattoo and a motorbike, it's like, pff, look at him, he's so sad. What a
fucking... I feel like you've just personally come for me there.
Well, I'm going to defend you.
I've got motorbikes and the odd tattoo here. Am I having a midlife? Fuck, I'm having a midlife crisis.
Oh my God. Okay, well, you're going to, you will see if this bears out my theory. Because the time and time again, when I interviewed men, he'd had a midlife crisis and basically started acting like teenagers with motorbikes and tattoos. It turned out they hadn't been teenagers when they should have been teenagers. They were too busy caring for someone. They were too busy like studying or working. They felt bad about themselves. They weren't rebelling and being a teenager during their teenage years.
So they rebelled in their latter years.
So now they're doing it. So it's that Morecambe and Wise quote. It's like it's like all the right life events, but not necessarily in the right order. And as soon as I realised that, I was like, I can never bear again to see someone taking the piss out of a man for just trying to have a little bit of teenage fun in his later years, because that, I know that's the first time he's had a chance to do that. We should be so happy for him in the way that we are for women.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to find mental health support where you live or talk about your feelings, visit the Hub for Hope, www.hubforhope.co.uk, where you can find links to services across the UK.